Appreciate that it is a lot of fun, and for some reason I'm just not me. I remember Josie Charco coming here. Do you remember him coming? Josh and a trooper from Kerala, and that's where he's from. And when he first came here as a young man, he was amazed at people mowing their lawns, you know, out there mowing their lawns all the time, always obsessed with mowing their lawns. And then he talked about camping. He went around for a meal to someone's home one night, and he thought, oh, this will be good. People are inviting me around for dinner, and this will be good. And he went into their house, and they had this beautiful house, and he thought, oh, this will be great. It'll be so good. And the next thing, they said, come on out the back. You know, the next thing, he said, we're out the back, and there's flies, and they're cooking stuff on an open fire, and it's a bit burnt, and they've got plastic plates, and he thought, I thought I was coming to something nice, and they've got this lovely home, and they're sitting outside. He couldn't work it out. And he had the same experience where he thought they were going on a holiday. They invited him around to his house, and they took him away for the weekend, and they went camping. And he thought, these people have got money, and they've got lovely homes, and they spend all their lives paying off these homes and these beautiful homes, and the first chance they get to have a break, he said, they're off in the bush. And so anyway, I laugh with Josie, but... We're going to talk about there's more. And last week we're tagging into a great verse in John chapter 10, verse 10. It says, I have come that they might have life and might have it abundantly. God's the God of more, isn't he? God is the God of more. And I just wanted to share some things over these few weeks and over this month, as others share, about how we can access the more that God has for us. God's promised us more, and he's opened a door of access for it, but I just want to know a few little keys to open that door. Last week, we talked about a few keys. One was about what we believe, about unbelief, about not thinking how God thinks about us and what he's got for us. Because in Ephesians 3, verse 20, it says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine. You know, that is just a tremendous verse, isn't it? According to his power that is at work within us. It's not according to us. It's not something that's happening from inside of us that's of us. It's his power that's in us, that's working within us, that's going to open up an immeasurably more life for us than all we could ask or imagine. God's got more. He wants to open our capacity. He wants to enlarge us for more, like Carol shared about the tent. He wants to stretch us sometimes. He wants to push out those boundaries. He wants us to not think little about ourselves. He wants us to think big. Not to be like the 10 spies that went into the promised land and said, it's too big for us, and they're too big for us, and we're going to be killed here, they're going to eat us up. He wanted them to be like Caleb, who said, give me this mountain. God's got more for me, and I'm up for it, and I want to press in for more. God wants to do so much more in us and through us, more than we think, according to his power. So we talked last week about just believing. Just the way we believe is important, about our faith life, about letting him increase our capacity. And we talked about the simple principle to ask for more, to be bold enough. If God's got more for us, let's be bold as we come into a new year and let's ask God for more. Let's get our little time, you know, where we get with God and we quietly close the door and we're in that quiet place with him, when we're alone with him, and we say, God, you've got more for me. And let's hear his voice. Let's hear what he's saying to us, the more that he's got for us, and let's boldly ask him for it. He's waiting for us to ask. We talked about Caleb had a daughter whose name was Aksa, and how she boldly asked for more. Talked about when she came in, she'd asked her husband to ask her father for a field, and he didn't ask, but she suddenly rocked up, getting off their horse, coming from wherever they were, and her dad said to her, what can I do for you? And I want to just declare, God is saying to all of us at the beginning of a new year, what can I do for you? God wants to do something for us. God wants to do something in us. God wants to do something through us because he's the God of more. And he is nudging us to come into his presence at the beginning of a new year, and he's saying to us, what can I do for you? And this is what she replied. She said, do me a special favor. Since you've given me land in the Negev, and this land was in a dry place, and her father had given her land, it says. She said, since you've given me land in the land in the Negev, give me also springs of water. And it says, so Caleb gave her the upper and lower springs. You know, land without water is not good enough. Just having possessing things without the life of the Spirit is not enough. And the simple truth is God invites us to ask. He's waiting for us to ask. And when we ask, he grants us our requests. On one provision, we shared how if we're in sync with him. In James chapter 4, verse 2, it says, you do not have because you do not ask God. Many times, God's got more for us, and we're missing out simply because we're not bold enough to ask him. And in James, it goes on in the next verse to say, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. The only provision is we need to be in sync with God's agenda, with his kingdom, with what he's wanting to do. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. If we will just line ourselves up with the heart of God and his agenda and his word, everything is open for us if we ask and we're bold. And a good example of that we shared last week was Solomon. Solomon was a king after David, and he was at home, and God came to him one night in a dream and said, ask for whatever you want me to give you. What a thing for God to say to us. Ask for whatever you want me to give you. And it's not a genie. It's not a get yourself $1 million. Solomon's response was, because he wanted to serve the people of God, he said, God, give me a wise and a discerning heart that I may lead these people. That was his prayer. And God said, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor ever will be. And God then went on to give him more than he even asked. He made him the richest man of his time. He made him the most wise. He was the greatest king on the face of the earth in his time, simply because he asked God and was in sync with God. Today I'd like to share a couple of other little keys to open more from God. And a verse that I really love that's in line with more is in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. It's just a wonderful verse. It just conveys God's heart and his sense of more. It says, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Just let that sink in. Just let that sink in. This is God's heart. Even your eye has never seen, your ear has never heard, and your mind couldn't even conceive what God has prepared for those who love him. The fact that we're in touch with this loving, gracious, enormous God, with not just the maker of the heaven and the earth, but an enormous heart for us, he's got so much more for us. We couldn't even conceive or believe all that he has for us. But then it goes on to say, but God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. And I just want to share this morning that so much of the more that God has prepared for you is opened to you through simply receiving one precious gift, and it's the Holy Spirit. so much more opens up when we just receive the promised gift of the Holy Spirit. I was thinking a bit like dominoes. Who's ever played dominoes? You ever seen those little things they put up and they put them in a line? I thought as I was going to bed last night, I thought, I wonder how many dominoes is the world record or something, you know? And you get online. It's amazing, Google these days, isn't it? You know, everything's there. Here we are, there's videos going for 12 minutes of dominoes falling. And 500,000 dominoes just falling over. And in patterns and colours and all this, you know. But it's a bit like that with the Holy Spirit, you know. He's like the first domino. If you will open the door of your heart and invite the Holy Spirit into your life, be baptized in the Spirit of God, be immersed, be fully immersed, receive the precious gift that was promised by Jesus, it'll be like a domino. It'll be like the first thing that'll just suddenly bang, and everything in your life will open up more of God. You know, it's so wonderful. And a verse like that suddenly comes alive. Suddenly you get filled with the Spirit, open yourself up to the Spirit of God, and every verse in this Bible can come alive. And you read something like, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. There's dominoes starting to fall all around in your life and in your heart. Jesus, there's a account in John 7, won't go into it all, but it was on a very, it was on the day, it says, of the last and the greatest day of the festival. They think it was a certain festival where they did all these things with water. And Jesus, in the midst of it all, he stood up with a loud voice, right at a special time, with a loud voice, and says, let anyone who is thirsty come to me. He was almost in the middle with the temple in view, with all the rituals they had. He said, don't worry about the rituals. Don't worry about the temple. You think that's where the life's coming from. But he said, come to me. Come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. What a wonderful promise. And then it explains, John says, by this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. There's much, much more available to us through a Spirit-filled life. Open your heart to the Holy Spirit. If you've never done that, it's as simple as an ask. It's as simple as boldly coming and asking him. God is a God that gives and never withholds the things that are in line with his agenda. And he wants to open up so much more for us. Just like in James, it says, we do not have because we do not ask. Simply receiving this wonderful gift opens an abundance for us. I thought about, there was a story told once about cruises. Now this, I asked you before, who likes camping? Who likes cruises? There's a few that have been on cruises. Here's me, I must be antisocial or something, you know, it must be something wrong with me. I don't like cruises, haven't ever been on one because I'm too scared. I get on the smallest of boats and I'm vomiting and I'm ill and I can barely get out to the reef at Cairns or do anything without being ill. And I've had to tell Debbie when we came back from one of those little boat trips, I said, if I ever talk about getting on a cruise or a boat, remind me of this day. And I can remember going out on those boats with my head against I was on a little bench of some sort with my face against the wall with my eyes closed after I totally wiped out and just picturing the bed in the hotel room when I got home and thought, I will be there in 2 hours. I will still live. I will not die. And I was no good. But, you know, cruises, there's a story told of a man on a cruise, you know. And a young guy, didn't have much work. I'm just sort of embellishing this a little bit, maybe, I'm not sure. But anyway, he's on a cruise. His name was Francis, I think. There we go. And he's on a cruise, saved up all his money, worked hard, real hard, Francis did. and late, long days, and saved up enough money to go on a cruise. And got on the cruise and only just managed to get enough money to buy the ticket. Francis did. He's on the cruise and he really loved this cruise. You could walk around, there's a swimming pool there. He could, his nice bed he had and everything. But, you know, sometimes he'd be in his room at night and he's a bit hungry and he'd open up his crackers and cheese and just have a little snack. He brought a few things in his bag because he only had enough for the ticket. Couldn't buy much else, but he brought a few supplies of food along and he nibbled away at night. And, you know, sometimes he'd even look into this area where all these people were eating and watching them dining and feasting, thinking, oh, boy, that looks good. You know, Francis is, you look how thin Francis is, you know, and he's worried. Anyway, eventually the 2 weeks go by. He's had a great time and he disembarks and the captain says to him, hope you had a good trip. He said, oh, it was wonderful. It was wonderful. He said, the captain said to him, Francis, I never saw you in the dining area. I didn't get to meet you. He said, oh, I only had enough for the ticket. I wish I could have joined you. He said, no, it was free. It was included in the ticket, you know. Here he was on the whole cruise, the whole time, eating his crackers. And God had so much more for him, you know. And God's got so much more for us. And I tell you, we can be eating crackers. I don't want to come to church eating crackers. I want to be on this ship and the Spirit of God's moving. And the Spirit of God is filling every heart and every life because God's got more for us. And I don't know how I can be more simple than that, that God's got more and he's just waiting for us to open our hearts to that one domino. We have, Carol pointed out some of these values we have. There's a little one down the back. It's sort of hidden behind the cafe. I think it should be out a bit more out in front because it's probably my second favourite, that one. And it says, can you read it? We are, I think you should all look around at it. It says, we are dependent on the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit. Is that what it says? And just read it out to me. Therefore, feels like school now, Carol. We hunger for an intimate life with God. You want an intimate life with God. Open up your life to the Holy Spirit. Open up that dynamo. But also, we want to contend, and we'll get to that. Christianity, our faith, I've shared this a little bit before, but it's really real to me and at my core. It's not simply a moral code that we sign up to live. It's not a book of rules, is it? When I was 15, I drifted out of the religion or the faith that I had, which was limited, but it was based on the Bible. But I drifted out because I could not say that I saw something that was live. And I remember saying to my dad, I said, look, it's a great book of rules. It's probably got lots of wisdom that have built up from generations to generations. But I can't see that I've seen enough to convince me that this God that's talked about in here is real. And I drifted away because all I'd seen to date was dry religion. I hadn't seen the springs of life. I hadn't opened that door to the supernatural power of God. None of us want dry religion, do we? We want the real thing. We want raw God. You know, the Bible talks about repentance from dead works. Dead works is doing stuff that leads to death. Doing stuff that's got no life in it. Doing rituals and religion that's got no life. But Christianity, our faith, is supernatural. It's a power from heaven that empowers us to live and fulfill his purpose on the earth. And I drifted around and made a good mess of my life. And then when I was about 21, my dad had come to opening the door to that first Adonimo. He was a good man. He'd gone to church all his life. Every day he was He was a faithful man. But suddenly he heard in his church about the Holy Spirit. And I tell you what, he opened his heart to more, opened his heart to the Holy Spirit, and it changed his life. And it so changed his life that it made me interested. It made me begin to think. And suddenly, as I opened up to that as well, suddenly God was no longer dead, but he was alive. Not just the book of Acts wasn't just a myth or a book of stories that weren't around anymore, or a time that was once gone by. It was for now. And I can remember coming home. I was just lost, just smoking pot and going to uni and just drifting in life. And I'd come home to save a bit more money for a trip I was going to make with a friend to Japan, on my way to work and live in Japan, and 21 years of age, and getting high and lost. And all of a sudden, my dad's in his room praying to God, praying in this language I'd never heard. And his life was so changed. And I thought, God, this is rattling my cage. There's something more that you've got than what I've ever seen. And I began to hunger for it and began to look for it, and found myself in church and found myself giving my life to Jesus, because I realized God had more for me. And it was wonderful. I heard a preacher say once, to say that the events in the book of Acts are over, that they're not for today, is to deny the supernatural dimension of our Christian faith. He said it's like reading it on the menu and drooling. A bit like Francis on the cruise ship, you know, eating his crackers, looking in that window, and everyone else is having a feast and you're drooling. And all you got is your crackers. Well, to tell us that the book of Acts is not for today, to tell us that being filled with the Spirit is not for today, to tell us that the supernatural of what God has is not for today, is like reading it on the menu and drooling. It's a bit like saying it's on the menu, but they're not serving it in the kitchen anymore. I tell you, God is serving the same feast that he's always served. And all we have to do is open our hearts to that. To say that the time of miracles is finished is not true. People still get filled with the Holy Spirit today, and miracles still happen. We just need to ask for it. We need to receive it. We need to start letting those dominoes fall, and we need to contend for all that God has for us. The coming of the Spirit was a fulfillment of a promise from God. In Acts 2, verse 38, well-known verse, let me just remind us, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of our sins, and you will receive. You will receive. If Jesus declared it, it's true. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a gift. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are afar off. It's not for a select few, it's for all. For all whom the Lord our God would call. It's a promise. First of everything else, it's a promise. That if you'll receive Jesus and be baptized in his name, it's God's desire to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's like water baptism. It's the analogy of being immersed, of being plunged. It's like when they talk about when you used to dye a garment. You would put the cloth into the dye and the dye got into the garment. It was immersed. It became part of it. It's the same here. We are plunging a human life into the largest source of the Spirit of God, so as to overwhelm that life with the life of the Spirit. Suddenly, when we're baptized in the Spirit, we are plunged into the life and the largeness of God's Spirit, and it overwhelms us, and it results in us being filled and changed, and suddenly we are just overwhelmed with all that he is. In Acts 1:8 it says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. You know, ignoring someone's final instructions doesn't sound smart, especially if that person holds all authority in heaven and on earth. You know, and his final instructions was, you know, don't do anything till you get the power. We need to be filled with the Spirit. Jesus talked about a power that was given to us to help us do the job he's called us to do, to help us live the life that he's called us to live. It is impossible to live the Christian life without the empowering of the Spirit of God. We are dependent, it says up there, on the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit. We're dependent. We get nowhere without it. We're not bold enough. We can't witness enough. You know, I could not do anything for God without the Holy Spirit. You know, I can remember as, you know, grade 5 or 6 at school, I could not even get up to read a passage in a book without stammering and being as nervous and embarrassed as anything. But, you know, God wants to fill us. God wants to do more in our lives, and God wants to enlarge us. And the Spirit of God is what makes us bold, isn't it? It's Him. You know, we think, well, I can't do that. I can't do that. I tell you, if you let the Spirit of God be like a domino and start to let them fall, some things will open up in your life that you never thought were possible for you. He wants to do immeasurably more than you could ask or imagine. We think it's beyond us. God says, I want to do it through you and in you for my glory. God wants to choose the weak things of the world to confound the wise, and he gets the glory. And I just, because God's standing there with open arms and he's got a feast for us, I don't want to be eating crackers and cheese in 2018. I want to be boldly in the presence of God saying, God, you've got more for me. You've got more for this church. You've got more for this town. God, I boldly ask you, give me the upper springs. Give me the lower springs. Give me every spring you got. But let it bust out of the middle of this place, the springs of God and the life of God. That's what we're looking for. In Acts 2 again, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. Every one of you. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a gift. I just want to remind you of a couple of key things. It's a gift. We didn't earn it. It's not a reward. It's for you. It's a gift. God's got a gift for you. Christmas isn't finished yet. If you've never been filled with the Spirit of God, if you've never been baptized in the Spirit, I encourage you, go home today, close your door, get with God and say, God, fill me with your Spirit. I want to unwrap the gift that you've got for me. You don't have to wait till you attain some level of perfection or doing so good. Power is given to us because he knows we need it to do all that he's called us to do and to live the life that he's called us to live. I was reading a book by Barry Chant, a little book that he's put back in print that is so good, and it's titled something about God's power, you know, just opening to God's power. But he's got a quote in there. He says, the biggest single hindrance to being empowered by the Spirit of God is not unworthiness, it's a failure to believe. You know, every time someone wants to get filled and doesn't get filled, it's nothing that's wrong with them. It's always an issue of faith and just to believe. They need to believe it's a gift, it's for them, and all they need to do is ask and simply receive. In Luke 11, it says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? That's our God. How much more will your Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is a promise. This is a gift. And this is for you. and just ask. Don't entertain one thought that it's not for you, that it's not for today, and it's not available, and somehow you've got to do something first and change. You just, if you know Jesus, if you've been born again, open up your heart and let that domino fall. It's not automatic. It's not something, I'm saying that in the sense it doesn't just occur when we get born again or we get baptized in water. It can do, but often it's a separate experience. In Acts 19, verse 2, Paul asks certain disciples of John the Baptist at Ephesus, this is what he asked them. He said, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" Now, why would someone ask that, except maybe it's possible that you could believe and you could be born again and yet you have not yet received the Spirit of God? If this is so good, if this is not the crackers and cheese that we're used to, if this is something so good, the supernatural power of God that opens up the heart of young pot smoking youth when I was 21, suddenly poking their noses in church when they'd never been bothered before. If it arouses their attention, there must have been some evidence. There must have been something that happened in lives. There must be something supernatural. For me, it was just my dad praying in tongues, just speaking in a language that was supernatural from God. That just rattled my cage. I thought, God, you're real. And then when I got baptized in the Spirit, I was overwhelmed by the presence of God and began to weep. And within a few days, I'm talking in tongues. I tell you, I was fascinated. I started looking at myself in the mirror, talking in tongues and thinking, what? Where is that coming from? What is that? You know, my mind couldn't comprehend what God had done. And I remember putting it in a little tape recorder, you know, funny little guy, taping his voice and talking in tongues and playing it back. I thought, where is this? But all I knew is there was suddenly a river of joy and a river of life and a domino beginning to fall in my life and change began to occur. And I tell you, there needs to be evidence. And I encourage you, nearly every account in Acts, nearly every account, there was evidence when they were baptized in the Spirit, and the most common thing was they spoke in tongues. And I tell you, just ask God for it and let it open up that domino in your life. If we're church, if we're all that God wants us to be, let's open our hearts up for more. There is more. We want to do on that core value up there. We want to hunger for it and we want to contend for it. We want to enter into all the more that God has for us. We want to be people of faith who focus and trust on what God says, not on what we think in our limited mind. God wants to do more than we could ask or think. We want a people who boldly ask because we know we serve a generous, kind, great God. And if we will be bold enough to ask him, he is waiting for us to ask. Sometimes we're not even asking. We're just settled. Let's ask him. And if there's one thing, if you haven't yet unwrapped your Christmas gift, ask him for the Holy Spirit because he wants to fill you and it'll be a doorway to more that God has for you. It'll be like a domino that'll start to fall. Don't repress your hunger for God. Allow that desire to keep going. My last point is about, on there it talks about to contend. I won't share too much about this, but I'll share it because starting tomorrow, we're having 3 weeks of prayer and fasting as a church. We do it at the beginning of each year or close to the beginning. And we do it because we believe in the power of prayer. And I especially believe that accompanied with fasting, things really begin to shift. God really does stuff if we will pray and fast. Now, you just find your own place to do that. When the Lord talked about these things, he had one key principle. He said in Matthew 6, he talked about giving, he talked about praying, and he talked about fasting. And he's talked, and each time he says, do it in secret. Don't let anyone else know what you're doing. Don't let the left hand know what the right hand's doing when you give. When you pray, go in your closet and close the door. Get with God quietly. When you fast, don't look like you haven't eaten for a week and unhappy. Look happy and give your face a wash. Get around. But in your secret place, give, pray and fast. So I encourage you, for 3 weeks, get some secret time with God. Give, pray and fast. And God promises us, he says, your Father in heaven who sees you. Somebody is watching you. You might think you're alone, but we only need one person to watch us, and that's God, because he's got more for us and he wants to open it up. And I just want to encourage us over these 3 weeks to just at the beginning of a year have an appetite for more of God and to make a little bit of time in your life in the next 3 weeks. And if you want some encouragement and you want to join with others, we're going to hang out in this little cafe here and put some chairs around. And every night from 6 to maybe 7:30, we're going to have some worship and we're going to pray. And we're going to ask God boldly and we're going to contend for all that he has for us, for the more that he has. Dan might come up an odd night and play guitar. Some others might come. Let's come with the things we need to ask God for. Let's come with the breakthroughs we need. Let's ask God. Let's knock on his door, because he's promised us that he will reward us. I thought about this little word contend. I like the bite in it. And it made me think about Joshua. It says, I'll read you one verse as we close. Maybe the team could come up and we'll just finish up. Take that off too. We're going to come around the table just as we finish. It's the beginning of the month and we always have communion as much as we can. But at the beginning of the month, we make sure we do this. But in Joshua 1, verse 2, it says, now Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan. Get ready, 2018. Get ready for more. You and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to you. God's got something he's about to give to you. And then he says, to the Israelites I give you every place where you set your foot. Joshua was told, he's going into the land and he's told, I'm going to give you everywhere you put your feet. But what happened after that chapter? 12 chapters of contending. 12 chapters of taking the land. Now I believe in hunger and I believe in asking and I believe in changing the way we think. And I believe in the Holy Spirit coming to help us and resource us. But there's got to be a little bit more bite in it. There's got to be that little word, contend. There's got to be a land that God's got for us that we're also reaching out to take. And there's an enemy we have that wants to rob us of all that God's got for us, the more that he's got for us. And I just encourage you, for 3 weeks, let's get a little bit gritty. Let's get a little bit contending. Let's get a little bit, God, I want more and I'm willing to do something about it. I'm willing to come and ask and I'm willing to contend. Maybe just not for the more for you, but for the more for our town. The more for the person who lives down the road from you that doesn't know Jesus. The more for Caboolture, where there's people going to bed at night that are just in pain. Let's contend for the more. And just as we finish, I want us to come around the table and I want us to conclude and I want us to have our eyes at the beginning of the year set on Jesus. I want us to remember, because that's what Jesus told us to do. He said, as often as you do this, remember me. I want us to remember the source of the more of everything we experience from God. It comes from this source. This was the very first domino was God coming as a man and dying for our sins and opening up a more life for us. Jesus says, I have come that they might have life and might have it abundantly. That's his heart. That's why he came. And that's what we remember. And that's what we celebrate. We remember that there was a price for them all. It wasn't a price we had to pay. It was a price that he paid. He laid down his life willingly so we could have a more life that God has for us. Jesus says the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. That's the devil. He was running our lives. He was running my life. And he was running me around. And he was like he had a handle on my back. And he was just taking me for a ride. And I was just like the dog being wagged by the tail, you know. But it says the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. We have access to the more of God because of Calvary. We have an open door. In Romans 5, verse 1, it says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access. We have access. You know, if you wanted to go and sit a few years ago with Barack Obama and get access to the President of the United States, you'd probably have to pay $500,000 just to get it saddled up in a meal. But I tell you, for free today, we have access to Jesus. We have access to the Maker of heaven and earth. We have access to the throne of grace. It says we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Goes on in Romans 5 to say, you see, at just the right time, while we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know, God before us today, as we remember, is a demonstration of God's immense love for us. That Jesus gave his life for us, that he came willingly and died to release us, to deliver us, and to give us a more life. I wonder if maybe someone today could even be here that's never known Jesus, never even opened up that very first door of access to a relationship with Jesus. We have up there our vision is to transform our community through the love and power of Jesus. You know, a simple relationship with Jesus will transform your life and will be like a domino to many more. That's how God works. He touches one and things begin to fall around them. Others begin to get touched. He wants to see things in your life change and open up for you. Maybe someone today doesn't know Jesus. I just invite you, just as a simple ask, just to boldly raise your hand and say, Jesus, I want to know you. I want to open that door. Come into my life. Save me. Open up the more for me. I don't want to be robbed anymore. I don't want one more day of being tossed around and robbed. Jesus, come into my life. If that's you, just boldly raise your hand and we'll just pray. We'll just agree in a prayer. Anyone this morning? If we all know Jesus, if you know him and you've opened that door, I invite you as we sing this song, Oh Praise the Name, just come out this morning, take these little emblems, little cup, little piece of cracker, but it represents his body and his blood. What he did for us, the more he gave his all so we could experience all that he has for us. Just come out today as we sing this song. And just, I want you to open up the beginning of a year with a prayer. Just think about if God was to say to you today, ask whatever you want, what can I do for you? Ask whatever you want and I will give it to you. come out and let God, I believe God would speak to hearts, that there's something that he's whispering to us that's in line with his will for our lives, and he wants us to ask. He wants us, in our remembrance of him, to boldly ask today for more. Let's sing this song with Dan and the team, and just come out. Welcome to stay out the front. Let's together, as a church family, let's just remember him and let's ask him today for more.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior.
If you haven't already done so, let's just remember him and let's just receive. Let's thank Jesus for the more that he's given us and for all he's done. And for the price of Calvary, we just give you thanks, Jesus. Jesus.